In the mission.
Are you looking at your calendar?
Yeah, right there. So the biggest problem with today's shiur is that we had no idea what we were supposed to talk about. We were talking last night, we talked about Nun Diyoma, somebody's talking about Rosh Hashanah now, and it's a little bit too early. So I thought we'd talk about Nun Diyoma in terms of Chodesh Elul. And then I had a little bit of another problem. I said, to talk about the Rei Mutzer and Nisayrus fellows, for sure you can talk about. Hopefully we will talk about that, but towards the end also. So I have to give a whole shiur just about that. So maybe we'll give a little bit of some halachas, which are relevant to Elul. So of course the next problem was, what halachas are relevant to Elul? There's not that much in terms of Hilchos Elul. So I can talk about the meaning of blowing shofar, that'll take about 3 seconds. I can talk about Adov Neshamayr, it'll take another 3 seconds. So what can we possibly talk about? So somebody asked me a shaila the other day, which is relevant for an Elul, and so they told a Hilchos Elul shaila. So I thought we'd speak a little bit about that. So somebody asked me, are they required in the month of Elul to check their tefillin and to check their mezuzahs? So we know that some people really have such a custom of checking tefillin and mezuzahs. So where did this come from? And is it really a chiyuv? And what are really the parameters of this? We'll talk a little bit about this, and then we'll talk a little bit about divrei chizuk mezuzahs also a little bit for Elul. There is a mechilta that appears in Parshas Bo on the pasuk v'shemarta sechukah zos l'mo'adam yamim yamima. The Torah says you have to observe this chuk, you have to observe this law yamim yamima. What exactly does this pasuk mean? So it comes in the chuk and says this pasuk is referring to the obligation for a person to check his tefillin, catch this, once a year. V'shemarta sechukah zos. The pasuk is talking about tefillin, at least according to the chuk's understanding. It's the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bo. So miyamim yamima means once a year. So it doesn't mean you put on tefillin once a year. So miyamim yamima means that you require lishma sechukah. You're required to check your tefillin to make sure they're still kosher once a year. This is how the mechilta understands pshat in this pasuk of mishamarta sechukah zos. Do we accept this mechilta lahalacha? So the fashion is that we don't accept this mechilta lahalacha. The following very simple reason: there is a machlekes atzanoim in Maseches Menachos as to what is the correct interpretation of this pasuk, Mishamarta Sechukah Zos. What is this mysterious chukah? So chukah, the law. Which law? Who law? What law? So you have to go back to the previous psukim. The previous psukim are talking about two different chukim, two totally different mitzvot. One pasuk is talking about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. That's the thrust of most of the parasha of Kadesh. So it's talking primarily about Korban Pesach. Then at the very end of the parasha of Korban Pesach, the Torah speaks about the Tarachas Tefillin. V'hai l'chole also yalcho zikro menenecha, then v'shamarta sechuk azos. So there was a machlekes atanoim. What is the phrase v'shamarta going back to? Is v'shamarta referring back to Tefillin, which is the immediate previous pasuk? Or is v'shamarta referring back to Korban Pesach, which is really the thrust, which is really the main major motif of that entire parasha? So the Gemara quotes two different opinions about this. Machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that the pasuk is referring to tefillin. So says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what does yamim yamima mean? So yamim yamima doesn't mean once a year. Yamim yamima means every day. So the Torah is telling us you wear tefillin yamim yamima every day, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in contrast to the laila. Why does the Torah say yamim? Yom comes to teach me yom and below leila. It's the same way we learned to yom tshuva yalechem below shofar and Rosh Hashanah by yom below leila. You take the lulav by yom b'layla. So to Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you wear tefillin by yom below b'layla. So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the pshat of the pasuk is referring to tefillin. It's true. Yom yamima doesn't mean once a year. It means every day. Comes Rabbi Akiva and says that Rabbi Yossi Aglili's pshat in the pasuk is not the correct pshat. The chukah is not even referring to tefillin altogether. It's referring to korban pesach. The chukah is a pesach of asa medaver. And in fact, according to Rabbi Akiva Minat Torah, you're allowed to wear tefillin at night. It's only midrabbanan you're not wearing because you're afraid you may sleep in them. But midaraisi, you're allowed to wear tefillin at night. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says, so what is the pasuk referring to? If it's referring to Pesach, it doesn't mean you bring a korban Pesach every day. Yamima means once a year. So we have machlokes min hakotzeh lakotzeh amongst the tanoim, how to learn pshat in the chukah. And depending on pshat in the chukah will depend on what's pshat in the end of the pasuk, yamima. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, chukah refers to tefillin, therefore Yom Yamima refers to every day. According to Rabbi Akiva, chukah refers to Pesach, therefore Yom Yamima means once a year. Neither of those two pshatim is the mechilta. The mechilta said that chukah refers to tefillin, And Yom Yomim refers to once a year. That Mechilta is entitled to this opinion. Mechilta is Shema Yechoi, Shema, whatever the author of this Mechilta is. But Lamaisa, those are not the opinions that appear in the Gemara. So the Mechilta had its unique understanding of Chukah and its unique understanding of Yom Yomimah and was brought over the Kasha. If Chukah refers to Tefillin and Yom Yomimah means once a year, so what does it mean? You put on Tefillin once a year? That's not what it means. It means you have to check the Tefillin, the Shemaat, you have to be shown me a Tefillin once a year. Halacha Lamaisa, we don't accept the Mechilta, we accept the Bavli. We accept that either of Yossi's right or of Akiva's right. The Mechilta is not how he's shown him. But the Mechilta is for sure not right. So Halacha Lamaisa, we don't accept this Mechilta. Halacha Lamaisa, we don't assume that there's a Chi of Deraisa Vishamarta to actually check one pill once a year. According to the Mechilta, that there is an obligation to check one pill once a year, Mechilta is a very difficult concept to understand. After all, we know that in Kol Tarakula, we follow rove, we follow majority. What are the odds that anything really happened to his film in the last year? The guy's been checks his film, he follows the Mechilta, he checks his film every year. So year in, year out, he checks them, and every year the cipher gives him a stamp of approval. Every year the kosher. So what are the odds that something really goes wrong from year to year? If you don't drop your film into water, you don't leave them in your car for 3 days in 120 degrees. So in the stomach, nothing terrible is going to happen to them. So what kind of halacha is this that the Torah requires us to check our tefillin according to the position of at least according to the Mechilta? So comes the Mishkanos Yaakov in the Tshuva, the Gzal Yechvan, the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, comes the Mishkanos Yaakov and he writes, he thinks what the Mechilta is telling us is the following insight. The Mechilta is telling us that even though there's a principle of Rov, and we always follow Rov, but sometimes you have what's called the Miot HaMatzoi. Sometimes you have, but although the Rov may be working in your favor, there's a small chance that something may have gone wrong. There's a possibility. It's a miut hamotzoi. Now, there are different levels, different statistical probabilities of miut. Sometimes you can have a miut which is a miut she'enoi motzoi, and sometimes you can have a miut which is a miut hamotzoi. So comes the Mishkanos Yaakov and says there's a difference in halacha between a miut hamotzoi and a miut she'enoi motzoi. A miut hamotzoi is something which happens not all the time, not even most of the time, but it happens a significant amount of time. How much is significant? So about 10% or so. That's approximately a miut hamotzoi. If it happens less than that, happens once in 50 times, that's called a miut she'enoi motzoi. What's the difference in halacha? Says the Mishnas Yaakov, when you're dealing with a miut hamotzoi, the halacha requires of you lechetchila not to rely on rov. You're not supposed to rely on rov when there's a problem, a question of a miut hamotzoi. The halacha requires of you to be bodek. The halacha requires of you to ascertain that in fact nothing has really gone wrong. And says the Mishnah Yaakov, that's a din d'oraisa. And the mocha for that concept in halacha that we find in other areas called miut hamotzoi tzarech livdok. You're not allowed to rely on the rov and there's a miut hamotzoi. Says the Mishnah Yaakov, that's a din d'oraisa. And the mocha for that din d'oraisa is this pasuk, v'shamarta sachukah zos. Now it's hard to build a din d'oraisa on a din that we don't pass in halacha. That's a technical problem. But the Mishnah Yaakov, a serious technical problem, the Mishnah Yaakov claims that there's mamash a din d'oraisa called b'dika mishumiyot hamotzoi, which is ultimately derived from the parasha of Tefillin, from the din of Shamarta. What are the ramifications of this Mishnah Yaakov halacha? So we'll just rattle off a few simple ones that are relevant to halacha l'maisa. The Gemara beginning with Sechus Chulin, the Rishonim point out, seems to tell us that although there are many things that could trafe up an animal, many, many things can go wrong. An animal gets a hole in its lung and its heart and its head. A lot of things can make the animal trafe. Halacha l'maisa, we don't check for trafes. When you check an animal, so we just open up the animal and we assume that it's okay. How right do you have to assume that it's okay? Because rov behemos ain't on trafes. Most animals that are walking around with not a holes in their hearts and their stomachs and their intestines, most animals are cheskes ksheros. So therefore we follow rov, we follow the majority when it's not required to check for trafes. With one exception. The Gemara tells us that one is required to check the lungs of an animal to make sure that there are no holes or no other lesions that may indicate the presence of a hole or the possible presence of development of a hole. So one is required by the halacha not to check the stomachs and the heads and the intestines, but one is required to check the lungs. What's the chiluk? What's the svar l'chalin? So the Rishonim, the Ramban, and others in the beginning of Sechus Chulin explain that the statistics of trefus in stomachs and heads and hearts is very, very low. So it's called the miut she'enoi motzoi. Not muchetim to look for. The statistics of problems in lungs is a little bit higher. It's not a rove. Clearly most animals don't have serious problems with their lungs or that would make them trafe. But it's a miut, and it's a type of a miut that's a miut ha-motzoi. And therefore the halacha requires to check for the mirah matzoi. Comes the Mishkanes Yaakov and says, that halacha that the Rishonim tell us in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, that we're required to check the lungs of an animal, which is in fact what we do, of course, halacha l'maisa today, the requirement to check in the lungs of the animal, says the Mishkanes Yaakov, that requirement is a din d'araisa. That's bound, we're bound as araisa to check for the lungs, because that's what's called the mirah matzoi. What if the lungs get lost? What if for some reason we didn't get around to checking the lungs? But the evidence you're allowed to meet, there's a Rashi, the beginning of Chulin that says that, that if the lungs got lost and you never got around to check them, but the evidence the meat is okay because you're a lateral lie on rope. And Rashi says, Ein lefarsim hadavar. So better turn off the table because they don't tell me about that. That's why not too many people came to the Shia. They heard that I was going to say controversial things. So comes the Mishnah Yaakov and says, that's a dinder aisha. The dinder aisha is required to check lechatchila, but with the evidence, if you didn't check, so then the evidence is going to be okay. So that's one possible application of this principle of Miyot HaMotzei. Give you another possible application of Miyot HaMotzei and Katzis for Miyot HaMotzei. A person goes to the Sims Bash, buys himself a suit. Between me and you, just think back to yourself. How many suits have you brought to be checked for Shadnez, and how many suits have really had Shadnez in them? Between me and you, the overall majority of the suits, maybe I'm not buying fancy schmancy enough suits, but most of the suits in my ballpark range at least have not had Shadnez in them. So now you have to stop and ask yourself, okay, well, wait a second. Am I really mechuyev to go check these suits? Is the halacha really required to check for shatnez? Sounds like a radical, bordering on precursors question. Does the halacha really require to check for shatnez? And the answer to that question is, it depends. It depends how many suits really do have shatnez. Now here, it's hard to say you can't take all the suits in the world into consideration. You have to take this brand or this type or this price range, whatever it is, and you have to check with the experts and ask them, well, most of the suits clearly don't have shatnez. The question is, what are the percentages of suits that do or don't? So if the numbers are such that it's a mere she'enoi matzoi, it's one in a thousand of this brand suit has shatnez in it, so then mikra din, one is not really required to check it. The same way one is not required to check the lungs, or one is not, the intestines and the hearts and the brains, one is not mechuyev to check the suits either if it's a mere she'enoi matzoi. If it's a mere hamatzoi, it's a 1 in 10 or more, so then one would be required to check. Sometimes it's hard to get the numbers, it's hard to know. I'm not advocating, I don't want to put the shatnez lab out of business once you try to check their suits for shatnez, but sometimes, I have someone who checks my suits for me, so sometimes I'll call them up beforehand and I'll say, listen, I got this suit, this is the brand, what are the odds of that shatnez in it? So they'll say to me, I've checked 50 of these suits, and I'm telling you they don't have shatnez in them. There's no way. It's one in a 10,000 chance that it's going to have shatnez in it. You're not going to check. That's for the mere shatnez matzoi. So I don't advocate necessarily not checking your suits for shatnez. I'm just saying that if you can ascertain that it's a mere shatnez matzoi, then you're not mechuyev to check.
How
does
the
Mishnah
Yaakov know the distinction between mere shatnez matzoi and
mere? The Rishonim already have that phrase. The Rishonim already have the phrase mere matzoi, because the Rishonim and Chulin point out that we don't find anywhere in the Gemara the mechuyev to check for all treifas, but the Gemara does speak about check for lungs. So what's the difference between the lungs and everything else? So the Ramban already writes the differences between a mirah matzoi and a mirah she'enoi matzoi.
But if he wants to use tefillin,
right? So the problem is tefillin is being the mock. I mean, that's a mirah she'enoi matzoi. Even what?
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I don't know. So Mishkan Yaakov is making a big thing out of this. He's saying this adin d'araisa mirah matzoi. It's really got some tefillin, etc. Give me another example of a question of a mirah matzoi versus a mirah she'enoi matzoi. So, which a lot of people are seem to be concerned with these days, lettuce, bugs. So we know that halacha is, you're not allowed to eat bugs, and everyone agrees that it's in their eyes to eat a bug. The question is, I'm not planning on eating a bug, I'm planning on eating a bag of lettuce. I want to know, are there bugs in this lettuce or not? So the question is, l'chor, you have to go back to the old rules of mirah matzoi and mirah she'enoi matzoi. What are the odds? What are the statistics? So if, let's say, I have a particular fruit, a particular vegetable, a particular food in front of me, that they've done a little bit of research and they came to the conclusion that it's a mere she'enoi matzoi. The odds that there's going to be a bug in this particular food is so unlikely. It's one in 100 chances that there's going to be a bug here. And the halacha is, I'm not machmir to check the food. The same way, nobody is machmir to check the hearts and the brains and the intestines of the animal. And the same way, mikra din, you're not machmir to check the suits if it's a mir to she'enoi matzoi. So you're not machmir to check for the bugs either if it's a mir she'enoi matzoi. Problem is, who says that it's a mir she'enoi matzoi? Maybe it's a mir matzoi. So it goes back to the Mishkan Yaakov, 1 in 10. How do you ascertain 1 in 10? 1 in 10 mean 1 out of 10 bags of lettuce, 1 out of 10 bags of lettuce coming from this particular batch of lettuce, 1 out of 10 boxes, cartons of lettuce, 1 out of 10 bites of from any given bag of lettuce. A lot of different permutations. How to cheshbon out whether it's called a mina matzah or a mina matzah. So as you can well see, everyone's working with the klal. Everybody agrees across the board. All the organizations agree to the klal. The klal is if it's a mina matzah, you're mechuyev to check. If it's a mina matzah, you're not mechuyev to check. The machloikis is it a mina matzah? It's not a mina matzah. It could depend on a lot of mitzvahs. It could depend on maybe what you're defining as bugs. It could depend on a lot of different things as to depending on how you're coming to the conclusion as to what's calculation of mirah matzah, mirah shenah matzah. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to that klal. The bottom line is, if liyitzuyah, this is a mirah shenah matzah, then you're allowed to eat it. If it's a mirah matzah, then you're not allowed to eat it until you check it. So we're not going to talk about all the details, the gory details of that. I think you can invite us tomorrow night to Beth Aaron. You can hear all about that. But that's the klal. Everyone agrees there's a klal. Now, where that klal takes you, whether you come to the conclusion of that klal that this particular standards are acceptable, these particular standards are not acceptable, that's already a different story. Not the parameters of today's year.
It's a suffix, Mina,
Matoya? It's a suffix.
Do we hold it as a
denarite?
Do we
can't resolve that? In a second, is the Mishnah Zakim really right that this Mirah Motzli is really a Din D'oraita? The fact that there's a halachic concept of Mirah Motzli, that's true. That's everybody agrees to. So the question is that really a Din D'oraita? So the Mishnah Chochma claims that he's not correct. The Mishnah Chochma, his parish and Chumash and Parashas Bo, claims that the Mishnah Zakim's reading of the Mechilta is not correct. Even Aliba the Mechilta, the Imamash Bechumi D'oraita, the Shekhi Tzolin once a year, which again, we don't even pass like that. But comes the Mishnah Chochma and says, there's a difference in halacha between mitzvah saseh and mitzvah lo saseh. Mitzvah saseh, if a person, let's say a person buys a pair of tefillin and he gets a check by a reputable seifrim and he's wearing the tefillin for 50 years, and then one fine day at the age of 95 he decides he's going to check the tefillin, a small technical problem, there's a word missing. So, is it his fault? It's not his fault. He had a tefillin check every year, they checked him and he did what he wanted. He followed whatever the Baruch Shalom to do and he did. Tachlis. Was the guy Yitzhak Tzvillin his whole life? He wasn't. He was not Yitzhak Tzvillin. Is he going to be punished and Shemayim for it? That's not a Cheshbanis and not a Dini Shemayim. Tachlis, was he Yitzhak in the midst of Tzvillin in this world? The answer is no. Let's say Liyitzhak, the guy who's been wearing the same pair of Tzvillin for 50 years and they were checked by the Sofer Mumchim and he put him on this morning and now he decides in the afternoon to go get the Tzvillin checked and the Sofer tells him, guess what? They did a computer check, they realize there's a letter missing. So what does he have to do by Mincha? It's mechuyev mid the araisa to put the tefillin on right away because he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah of hanochas tefillin because when you go in and out just close the door. Okay, as you speak, close the door and you'll go back in. So says the Meshech Chochman, that's true in the realm of mitzvah saseh. In the realm of mitzvah lo saseh. If a person did everything that he tried his hardest, he followed the halach and everything, and then something happened, slipped up, and he goes and he buys his OU empire with broyers, with empire, with all of it, OU, all the halach hashkachas, and it turns out, he glowing milsa, that the shrech had goofed, and it was a mistake happened. Onus gomor. So we have a cool klal that onus rachmada patre. What happens, but onus, if ke'ilu he didn't do it. So he didn't, he tried, he didn't violate Shabbos, he didn't do it, onus command the law of a dummy. But however, the poskim of a klal, onus command the law of a dummy, but onus command the of a dummy law of Rina. That means you don't say, well, it was an onus, it wasn't my fault, therefore I put on the tefillin. No, it wasn't your fault, you won't be nanash rip, but lamaik, you didn't put on the tefillin. So in the realm of Yisurim, says the Meshech Chochma, in a sense you could take a bigger risk. it's safer to take a risk in Yisurim than in Asayis. Because, even though in the hierarchy of Halach, Yisurim are more chaper than Asayis, but in the realm of Ones, in the realm of relying on Rov, it's safer to rely on Rov in Yisurim than in Mitzvah Asay. So says the Meshech Chochma, to check the lungs of the animal, even if it's a Mirat HaMotzi, you're not mechuyev to do Midarais, it's only Midarabon. To check the lettuce for the bugs, even if it is a Mirat HaMotzi, you're only mechuyev Midarabon to Midarais. To check the suits, even if it is a Mirat HaMotzi, it's only Midarabon, not Midarais. To check the tefillin, that's Midarais. Because to take a risk in the realm of Mitzvah Tasei, if you're going to goof up in Asei, you're going to end up without the Mitzvah Tefillin, that's a much more serious risk. So therefore, the Halacha says that you have to check the Tefillin Midaraisa, even though you don't have to check your letters. So an interesting split according to Mishnah Chochma. You don't have to check your letters Midaraisa, that's only Yechum Midarabanan, but to check your Tefillin, that's a Din Daraisa. How do we pass in Halacha Lemaisa, this whole story? So in terms of checking Tefillin, talking about Mechuyivta, we pass in again, because the whole Mechilta, we assume, like the Bavli, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that one is not mechuyav to check one's tefillin once a year. When is one mechuyav to check one's tefillin? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara that tefillin ain lahem b'dika elamis. Technically speaking, one is not mechuyav to check one's tefillin ever. As long as the tefillin were kosher at one time, assuming that was true, they were known to be kosher at one time. So then mikra din, one does not have to check them ever. However, the post can tell us, the later post can tell us that's not a good idea. Yeah, Paul can say that our GO, our ink, maybe isn't as good, we don't know how to make the ink as high quality ink as they used to make in the old days. On the mice, we do know that after a couple of years the ink starts to fade a little bit. We know from Sefer Torah the ink starts to fade a little bit. So therefore, as an Eitz HaToiva, Paul can recommend once you check it's filling periodically. Not an Ikra Din. The Ikra Din is once they're cautious and their Chesk is cautious, they'll avoid. But still, the Mishavur quotes that it's a very, very good recommendation every once in a while to check its film. How once in a while should you do it? So a person wants to be very frugal. Check them once a year. Every Yalom is going to check its film. So the Sofrim tell us it's not such a good idea. It would be a good idea for them financially to check its film. But practically, for the film, it's not such a good idea. They say every time you open and close the bathroom, it's not so good for the high-quality bathroom. So therefore, the Sofrim usually recommend to wait a few years. One shouldn't go run to check its film every year. So yeah, check with your local cipher to find out. But this is all assuming its film were kosher, mechila, means that mamash, azayel, chasis, kashis, and forward. So then one should check them periodically, but not they shouldn't necessarily run to go check them every year because something would be detrimental to the film. What about mezuzahs? Many people have a minute to check mezuzahs in Elul. So mezuzahs, there's more of a requirement to check than tefillin. The Gemara says the Farish one is required to check one's mezuzahs, but not once a year. A minute, if some happen to check the mezuzahs in Elul, that's only a minute. But the Ikra Din is not once a year. The Ikra Din is Pamayim B'Shavua. Not twice a week, but twice every 7 years. I mean, approximately every 3.5 years. Mustafa Chazal used the phrase Pamayim B'Shavua, because it didn't mean exactly 3.5 years you have to check. When 7 years pass by, that means they should have been checked already twice. So approximately every 3.5 years, one is supposed to check. And as the folks can say, the reason why mezuzahs are mechumen and stolen is just practically they're more exposed to the elements, so especially mezuzahs on the front door or the outside mamash, so things potentially can go worse with them. So one should get into the practice of checking mezuzahs every couple of years in order to fulfill that halacha. There is a strange halacha because mezuzah that's very relevant, I guess, in life, and that's what's called the mezuzah sharabim. The Gemara says, if you have a mezuzah of a city or of a shul or a makom tzibur or something, so then it only has to get checked pamayim biyovel, twice every 50 years. Why the mezuzah sharabim have to get checked twice every 50 years? So Chazal say, the Gemara tells us, because if we require you to check the mezuzah sharabim twice every 7 years, it'll never get done. Why will it never get done? Because today with the beishutfei lo chamim lo kriri, if you have a lot of people cooking a pot together, so then the food tastes terrible. Why? Because this guy says he's going to put in the salt, and the other guy says he's going to put in the pepper, and he's going to put in the spices. So I'll go up with life when something has to be done by a lot of people, it never gets done. So therefore, Chazal didn't want to be conveyed to check your mezuzahs twice every 7 years, because they knew that's never going to happen. So if it's your private mezuzah, then okay, you have a private individual, and as an individual, you have a chiyuv to check your mezuzahs as a tzibur. To tell a tzibur to check your mezuzahs twice every 7 years won't happen, so therefore they said, halavai twice every 50 years. Maybe we'll find one oisek b'tzach tzibur bother to check the mezuzahs twice every 50 years. It's a good Moser Haskel, that's a chitzibur. It's a good thing to remember. So our kofanim b'alokah is, once again, the tefillin, the ikar adin, don't really have to be checked, not like the opinion of the Mechilta, but according to the Mechilta, you have a whole lomdus of mir tamotzi, mir chenamotzi, which opens up a whole discussion for many, many other areas of halachah. We pass the ikar adin, they don't have to be checked, but afal pichein, eitz ha-tayfer kamashman, it's a good idea to check them. But not too often, you don't want to ruin the quality of the tefillin. Mezuzahs have to be checked mikra din twice every 7 years, but again, some have the practice of checking them in Elul, but mikra din one is not really required to do so. Through the shadow, people ask me very often when they check the mezuzahs, so when they put it back on, do they have to make another bracha? So the question is, the answer to that question is, it really depends on how long the hefsek was. So if you check the mezuzahs mikra din, if it's chetuba quotes, when you check the mezuzahs, you don't have to move them to the cipher to check them. As long as they were kosher at once, you're not checking to make sure that a letter disappears. You make sure that nothing is faded. So the Pischachiva writes, so you can do that yourself. You can open up the mezuzah and take a look and see. It looks exactly like it looked 3 years ago. Some of you remember what it looked like 3 years ago. So then it's okay. Sometimes it takes more time. The reason why I bring my mezuzahs to a cipher, not that I don't know how to read the mezuzahs, is that I can't figure out how to roll them up and get the plastic back together. It takes me so long. So it's worth the $4 to check the mezuzahs. So the Toskim say that if you check mezuzahs, chick-chock, and 2 seconds later you put them back on the wall, so you don't have to make another mezuzah, you don't have to make another bracha, no hetzach hadas. But if you take them off and send them to the cipher, and they're sitting there for 3 weeks, which they should, really shouldn't be, it's really good check if you put right on right away, then they sit there, I have mezuzahs all the time. That's why I think if a person wants to get the mezuzahs checked, the best thing to do is an Arab Elizabeth makes house calls. So they come to your house, he's charging another $5, charging for his toll over the bridge. So I think it's a good idea. That way you don't have to leave your mezuzahs for 3 days, your house without mezuzahs. So he comes and it solves the bracha problem. He takes them, puts them back on again, and sure, there's no problem of making a bracha. But for whatever reason, the person takes them off and they're really off for a while, so then one would have to make a bracha, especially if the mezuzah is possible, you need a new one. So then if it's a doorway that's really chayav the holiday, then it would require a new bracha as well. So I thought we'd just speak a little bit in Yana Diyoma, just a little bit the Mechizah and the Mesoras, following along the lines that we're speaking about checking one of the tefillin and checking one of the mezuzahs. The Gemara makes a comparison between a human being and a Sefer Torah. In fact, in Halacha, the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Smaikotan that the reason why when a person passes away, why we take kriya for them, so it's because it's like a Sefer Torah Shenisraf. It's like either the justice of the Sefer Torah is destroyed, so that's a tragedy. So too when a human being, when a neshama is taken away, that's also considered to be a tragedy. And of course, compare the mashal that the body is like the gvilim of the Sefer Torah, that's like the cloth of the Sefer Torah, and the neshama is like the osios of the Sefer Torah, like the Gemara, the famous Gemara of the Zohar, when Rabbi Chaim ben Tzadik, the Sarug Emachos, was killed. So the Talmidim asked him, what do you see? So he said he sees that the cloth of the Sefer Torah was being burnt, because it was wrapped up in a cloth. So he said that the cloth was being burnt, but Osios Parchas Beba Shemayim, that the letters of the Sefer Torah are flying up to Shemayim. So that's the same muscle for a human being, and even when a person passes away, so the cloth is destroyed. I mean, the cloth is put into Gneza, the cloth is put into the ground, but the Osios Parchas Beba Shemayim, the Neshama flies up back to its maker in heaven. So this muscle between the comparison between the Osios and the cloth compared to the guf and the shum of a person that a human being is compared to a Sefer Torah, so the Rav has, I say supposedly has a beautiful essay about it, because I never read it because it's written in Yiddish. The Rav has if anyone is fooled enough in Yiddish to read it, several years ago in the Kol, but that's more than several years ago already, but I was in the Kol, so 1 year we were learning Stam, Sefer Torah, Tzvil, and Mezuzahs. So everybody had to write a shtickle Torah for the wasn't the Beis Yitzchak at the time, it was Beis Yosef Shol, because Yosef Shol groups gave the money for it. So everyone had to write a shtickle Torah on some sugi about Sefer Torah, Tzvil, and Mezuzahs. So at the end of the Sefer, so they put in this apparently a famous kuntras that the Rav had written, with this whole beautiful marshal about how a person is compared to Sefer Torah, but they wanted to write it in the original, so they wrote it, they printed it in Yiddish. Small problem. I don't think anyone in yeshiva knew how to read it. So they're still waiting to be. Maybe your father will translate it so someone can actually know. It's supposed to be. They say it's supposed to be Le'ela Le'ela. Rob doesn't need my askama. But I'll go upon in this idea that a person is compared to a Sefer Torah, or for our purposes, a mezuzah, the tefillin, the oisius, and the cloth. So I think this is an important marshal for us in terms of the Chedesh Elul. Just as, again, whether it's a din deraisa, a din derabanan, and a din derabanan, whatever it is, whether you do it by your tefillin, you do it by mezuzah, they're irrelevant. But one thing for sure requires bedikah before Chedesh Elul, during Chedesh Elul, and that's a person's neshama. That a person has to check. Why does a person have to check? Why is it so important to do a bedikah on a person's neshama and the oisius of an individual? So for two reasons. So just as we know that the checking of tefillin and mezuzahs is very important for two totally different reasons. I always tell the Shiva Bachar, I often, kid, 17, 18, asked me, Rabbi, should I check my tefillin or not? So I usually ask him one question. I said, who checked your tefillin? He usually doesn't know, but who checked your tefillin the first time? It means by the bar mitzvah, where they bought a reputable sofer, a shemai, who has a good reputation of being a good, honest, a reputable sofer. That's the most important question. And the answer to that question is, yeah, so then usually I'll tell them that, okay, wait till you get married, so you check them again. And the answer to that question is no, so then I tell them you should get them checked right away. So So the first bedikah tefillin, that's the most important bedikah. The one who gives the first stamp on the mezuzah, not little stamp, not like those mezuzahs that say on them at the bottom, nivda for kosher, because of course those stamps pasul the mezuzah, because the Ram says anything, when time you have another letter in the mezuzah that's pasul, why someone thought of stamping them, I'm not sure. But those are not the best quality mezuzahs. But the ones that say made in Japan in the back of the next time, quality. But I kid you not, the one mezuzahs that were being produced and cheap quality mezuzahs were being produced in Japan. Anyway, so that original bedika, the first hanocha, to make sure that everything was kosher mitchila, that's the most important bedika for sure. Then in addition to that bedika, then there's a bedika to make sure that even though everything was kosher mitchila, make sure nothing has seeped in the interim. Make sure nothing has gone wrong during the last couple of years. That's no weather, no rain, no steam, no heat. Nothing has come in to ruin what was a one-time kosher. So I think this is the same is true when it comes to the bedikas of the neshama. The briskavot, there are two bedikas a person has to make, and one's neshama. The one is to make sure that the hanochas rishonis were right. You have to make sure that everything was right with chila. I mean, sometimes we have to question certain premises that we may have had in life for it. We've been doing everything, we've been assuming, making certain assumptions about our life and about our shmiras and mitzvahs, about avodas Hashem. And sometimes, a little bit later on in life, it feels like, wait a second. Well, those people really check when we were bar mitzvah. Was everything really right with chila? Sometimes the answer to that question is yes. Sometimes the answer may be not quite. So that's the first bedikah. So sometimes to reassess and think and ask ourselves questions that maybe we've been taking certain things for granted about avodas Hashem, and maybe takalim afreya, maybe retroactively we're making certain mistakes. That's one type of bedikah. It's a critical bedikah. But I think the second bedikah is even, in a sense for us, even more important bedikah. Even that Nachas HaRishonis were right. Even if, where we were holding last year by Ne'ilu was right, and Mekadosh HaKadoshim, and we had everything straight last Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Mamash, that's where we really should be in our Avodas Hashem at that level. Question is, what's happened in the long year since then? Have the elements creeped in? The person who's got that little mezuzah out there exposed to the rain. It's raining, it was a long winter, it was cold, I don't remember anymore. There was rain and there was snow, and there are a lot of things that seeped in, that may have seeped into the mezuzah. Or even if the tefillin was checked when you turn by mitzvah, some things may have happened. The deal isn't as perfect. The deal tends to crap on time. So that's another question we have to ask ourselves in terms of Anishama. Means what has happened, even if everything was kosher a year ago, has anything begin to crack? Has the lettuce started to fade? The postman tells us in the tefillin that if you catch a problem, before it's too late, so you can really save yourself a lot of money. There's a halacha in the tefillin and mezuzah that the whole tefillin and mezuzah have to be written kisidra, they have to be written in order. If you write the whole parasha of tefillin and mezuzah and you forgot a letter, put the whole thing into Geniza, make a little carrot and fill in the gaps. You can pass it around a little bit and fill in the letter. But in Tzolot Mezuzah, the whole thing has to go into Sheamus, because it has to be written, it's a din derais, it has to be mamish, kiseder hadvarim. That halacha is true, not only does it have to be written mitchil like that, but let's say you wrote a pirat tefillin, you wrote a parasha from mezuzah, and then later on something happens to one of the letters. One of the letters starts to crack, one of the letters starts to fade a little bit. So if you catch it in time, you can fix it, you can add deal, you can add into it, as long as the letter was still basically kosher, and even if it's not totally kosher, as long as that what's called an halacha tzuras ha'os, it could be, even though, again, we're not learning the details of Siman Lamed Beis and Hilchos Tefillin right now, but you can have a letter that technically is not kosher, but it still looks like a letter. It still has a tzuras ha'os. It resembles a letter still. It doesn't look like another letter yet. So then the din of Shlekes Sidrin doesn't apply. You can still touch it. You can still patch it up quickly. If you wait a few more weeks, a few more months, a few more years, till the letter is ois letter l'gamri, till mamash doesn't look anything like the letter that it originally was, so then it's finished. So then the whole thing has to be put into Sheamus, because it's Shlekes Sidrin. Same is true when it comes to a person reassessing the neshamas as well. So sometimes you can make a reassessment, and if you make the reassessment in time, if you catch a problem of ruchnius in time, so then as long as it's still kosher, it'll have it the way it is, and even if it's not kosher, even if it's already reached that threshold where it's no longer kosher, but it's still chutzit tzuras ha'os, it still has a tzura of ruchnius, it still has a tzura of yid, it still has a tzura of neshamas and mitzvahs, you're still in the ballpark of being a kosher letter, So then a little bit of ink is all you need. You could save yourself another $500 of buying a new pair of tefillin. Save yourself $1,000 of a new pair of tefillin. Means if you get the ink in time, if you catch the crack before it cracks too far, if you catch the fade before it goes too far, so then you can be misstocking everything and save yourself a lot of work down the line. However, the person who doesn't bother to check the tefillin, doesn't bother to check them, so just lets everything rot, and then wakes up 20 years later and says, it's time to check my tefillin. And the sefer opens up and says, sorry, mister. Says, it was a beautiful pair of tefillin 25 years ago, but the ink's faded. So the guy, the balabas, says, oh, it's a big deal. Put a little ink on. Too late. It's like a sidron. It's not salvageable. So sometimes, if a mistake festers, if a mistake rots, if a mistake cracks, too long, so then it reaches the point where sometimes you can't even fix it anymore. So it's kedai chokham in a barosho. Save yourself a couple of dollars to put in the ink beforehand, put in the tikkun in the sham before it gets too far, before it gets to the point where it can no longer be fixed. And what are the standards for fixing? What are the standards for the kashrus of the tefillin and the mezuzah, to say the Torah for that matter? Comes the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and says in the pasuk Chsaftam Amzuz Besecha Bisharecha. Chsaftam has a double meaning. Doesn't just mean to write these words. Chsaftam is a loshen ksiva tama. It has to be a perfect writing. That's the mokha the Gemara says, that a vav can't look like a yud. Anyone who caught after davening, we took a quick look at the Sefer Torah. There was a shtickle later to suffix about a certain yud in the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says in the Sechas Menachos that you have to bring in a Tino, someone who's not too smart, not too dull, someone who's not a baby, someone who's around the age of 6 or 7 or so to ascertain whether it's a Vav or a Yud. So after everybody left, I pulled Mary Yaakov in and I asked him to look at a certain letter in the Sefer Torah. So he said, it's a Yud, of course. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara says they supposed. I think the Rishonim say 6 or 7, or the Gemara says, I don't know, he just turned 8. All right, no. Somebody would have given the same answer a few weeks ago anyway. So, the halacha is a chsaftam. It has to be ksiva tama. The vavs can't look like yuds, and the nuns can't look like zions, and the beis can't look like chos. And it says place in gittin. Each letter can't be touching another letter. That's also learned down from the din of the ksiva tama. Each letter has to be perfect in itself. What are the standards for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos? The standard is perfection. That's the standard. Uchsaftam ksivatama. That's what you have to aim for. It has to be halachic perfection. We just read yesterday. Tamim tiyayim Hashem lokecha. That's the standards for us as well. The standard is to reach is perfection. Now I know that Tzadikim Baruch Sheyas Pevela Yechta, that each and every one of us sometimes, will fall. And when I speak about aiming for perfection, I don't want anyone to walk away with a neurosis. I don't want anyone to walk away feeling, I'm just never going to be able to do it. And we don't want people to walk around depressed and everything. So you have to know what the aim is, and you have to know what the practical goal is as well. So in theory, what we would like to be is Tavim Tiyayim Hashem Lekecha. It's Halach Masanav Yesami. We want to have Uchsaftam Uchsiva Tama. The reality is that sometimes that's from the Mezuzah. They're also not perfect, but they have to be at least halachically perfect. Even if they're not 1,000%, they still have to be the best as we can get them, and they have to be, they have to meet the standards of Tavim Tiyayim Hashem Lekecha. That's what our goals are also. Our goals are Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lekecha. Our goals are Hitalach Lefanav Yisamim. Our goals are that to make as perfect as possible without driving ourselves. We don't want to get. We have to be very careful that if you strive for the stars, you may not get there, but at least you won't get stuck down in the mud. So that should be our goal. We're striving for the stars. We're striving for the perfection, even though we know that we may not quite make it. But if we set our goals up high, so at least we'll be sure, if we aim to get the most mahudadik of pair of tefillin, at least we'll be kosher. If we don't aim for the most mahudah, we don't know what we're going to end up with. So therefore, the time of Chedesh Elul, whether up yalocha, you're required to check your tefillin mezuzahs, maybe yeah, maybe no, maybe motzah, that was the first half of the year. But everyone agrees that you're mechut to check yourself. Everyone agrees that the neshama of a person has to be checked. It has to be checked for those first misconceptions, like the mitzvah boys to check the film the first time. And even more important for us, it has to be checked each time around, each year around, really each day, but at least once a year, at least the Elul, to repair those damages. If we know from our own houses, we have a little leak, you catch it in time, so the roof can be salvaged.
That's right.
That's right.
When the
you're not for a day.
That's what I was going to ask him. Is that a recorder?
Yes, it is. You're famous now. So, Mr. Hashem, we should all be zeich in our own way to fix up those leaks and to fix up those ICS and cracking, and we should hopefully strive to tell them to be a machine.